Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I want to talk about righteousness without works. And I'll be using as my text the book of Romans chapter 4, the first 8 verses. And so if you'd like to follow along, you can be turning to that passage. It's a text about grace, the contrast between grace and works. And it's really, I guess we might say, sort of the theme of the book of Romans. Being justified by faith, saved by grace, as opposed to righteousness by works. He starts out chapter 4 with Abraham, and let me read the first 3 verses. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Paul is calling forth Abraham as the example now, and he simply raises the question, what can we learn by looking at the case of our father Abraham? And then he talks about how Abraham might have glory. He says, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. And certainly, the patriarch Abraham, if he had been able through his own works and his own efforts stand righteous before God, then as the apostle says, there would be great glory to Abraham. He could kind of puff himself up with pride and glory. But there would be no glory to God in that. And that's what the apostle says in verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God, no glory to God in that case. But now that's not the way it really is. That's merely a hypothetical case that Paul is presenting. He uses the word if Abraham were justified by works, but that's not really the case. In the next verse, he tells us the reality. In verse 3, he says, for what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The story is found in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. God appeared to Abraham in a vision and spoke to Abraham saying, I am your shield and your defense. And Abraham had, I guess we might call it a complaint against God. Abraham said, what use is it to me, all the blessings that you've given me, because I have no heir, I have no child, no seed. And this servant from Damascus, who is a servant in my house, he's going to inherit everything that you've given me because I have no son. And God said, no, Eliezer, this servant in your house, he will not inherit, but you will have a son. And then God took Abraham out and told him to look and count the stars of the heavens if you can. And God said, so shall your seed be. And then in verse 6 of that chapter, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that's the verse that Paul quotes here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. In saying that Abraham stood righteous or just before God, not on the basis of his works, but he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then after having pointed to the example of Abraham, then in the next couple of verses, the apostle begins to explain to us, and he draws a contrast between grace and works. And let me read verses 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What Paul does here is just present a very simple, obvious truth concerning work and grace. He says in verse 4, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And we understand that. If a man goes out and he works for someone for a day or a week, and then after he's done the work, the man writes him out a paycheck and gives it to him, we recognize that all the employer has done is simply paid a debt. He's not given anything to anybody. There's no gift involved. But on the other hand, if a man has not worked and earned it, but you write him out a check and give it to him, then it is simply a gift. It is grace. So we understand very clearly the concept of the difference between receiving something as a pure gift and receiving something which is really the payment of a debt because we have worked and earned it. That's what Paul is talking about here. Later in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 6, he has a similar statement. Let me just turn and read that. He says, "For if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Paul is simply saying that grace and works are different. And the two just don't mix. If it is by works, then you worked and you earned it, and there's no grace or gift involved. If it is by grace, then it is by grace. It is a free gift given to you. It's not a debt. You didn't earn it. And that's what he says in that verse, and that's what he's talking about here. The apostle is trying to help us understand that our righteousness before God is not of work, it is of grace. Of works would mean that we worked and we earned it. But the fact is, you cannot work off the guilt of sin. And that's what he's talking about. The only way that the guilt of sin can be removed is through the grace of God. It is simply an impossibility for a man to work off the guilt of his sin. Now, that's not the way we usually think in our society. We, for example, will speak of a man who is a criminal, tried and found guilty, and sent to prison. And then when he gets out of prison, he will say, "I did my time." And society, maybe not always emotionally, but intellectually at least, recognizes that the man paid for his crime. And we say, and he would say, he did his time, now he can, it's cleared up. Or we hurt somebody in some way, and we feel bad about it, and so we come to them and we say, "Well, I'll make it up to you." And we do something, and we make it up to them. That's our concept. But with regard to sin, you cannot make it up to God. It is an impossibility. With regard to sin and the guilt of sin, you cannot do your time. It is an impossibility. A good many years ago, I was talking to a man, and at an earlier period in his life, he had some financial reverses, and he had had to declare bankruptcy. And then, after he declared bankruptcy, of course, he was telling me the story, he worked hard, he was able to get the money, and eventually, even though he had declared bankruptcy and legally could not be held liable, eventually he paid off every one of those debts. And he was justly proud of that. That was a commendable thing for him to do. But you can't do that with God. It is a possibility that a man may declare bankruptcy and then later be able to pay the debt in this life. But when you're bankrupt with your sin, you cannot work and pay off the guilt of sin. And that's what the apostle is talking about here. When he says that our justification is not of work, it is by the grace of God. And we accept it through faith. Now that's very clearly taught here. But there's something that has to be said when you read this and talk about it. Because a lot of times people study this and misunderstand it. But the thing that needs to be said is this. That you can say that we're righteous without works, and he says so here, just as emphatically as you want to. But if you ever, as many people do, if you ever change the wording and talk about righteousness without obedience, if you substitute the word for obey for the word work, you have completely nullified the teachings of the Bible. And a lot of people in the religious world today miss the very point of the book of Romans and miss the whole teachings of the gospel. Because when they read that they're righteous without works, if they read it, we're righteous without obedience. And so they would say, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And you don't have to do some other things that are commanded in the Bible to be saved. So I wanted to point out before we leave this particular part of the lesson that it is very true to say that we stand justified before God without works. And by that he means you cannot possibly work off the guilt of sin. Don't one ever read that to say that you're justified before God without obedience. In fact, in this epistle, he emphasizes obedience greatly. In chapter 1, verse 5, he talks about, he connects faith and obedience. He talks about the obedience of faith in the first chapter, verse 5, and the idea of obedience to faith also in the last chapter, chapter 16 and verse 25. And then I want to read from chapter 6, where he talks about the importance of obedience. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. He says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." When the apostle talks about righteousness without works throughout the book of Romans, he's not talking about righteousness without obedience. That's a totally different thing. He says very clearly in passage after passage in this particular epistle that we're made free from sin by obeying the truth. But we're not earning or working out our righteousness. In other words, the teaching here is, it is not that there's not anything that we must do in order to stand righteous before God. But rather it is that after we've done all that we can, it's still not enough. It is simply impossible for a man to work off the guilt of his sin. And that's what he's talking about in this text. But then he doesn't stop there. Next, he talks about the blessedness of this arrangement. And I want to read now from Romans 4, verses 6 through 8. "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." He's quoting from David here and talking about the blessedness of this person. But he defines for us exactly what he means when he speaks of righteousness without works. In verse 6, he says, "To whom God imputeth righteousness without works." And then he quotes from David a passage about forgiveness. And that's all the expression righteousness without works means. It simply means that we have been forgiven. And he uses three different words to describe this blessedness in verses 7 and 8. The first word is forgiven. The second word is covered. And the third is two words, not imputed. And we need to think for just a minute about each one of those words and significance. Forgiven. He's simply saying that is, as we were just talking about a little bit ago, he's simply saying that you haven't done your time. That's not the way. You haven't worked off the guilt of your sin. You haven't made it up to God in some way. But God has simply forgiven you. One Bible scholar, Lindsay, in his translation of this, translates it dismissed. And that, of course, is a proper idea of the word, the original word for forgiven here, dismissed. And, of course, the analogy is that you're standing before the bar of God being judged, and he uses the gavel and hits the podium and says, as the judge, "Case dismissed." That's what forgiven means. It means, the word carries with it the idea of to take away. And so when we say that our sins are forgiven, it means that our sins have just been taken away. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 103 is talking about being taken away as far as the east is from the west. That's how far God has taken our sin from. In Micah chapter 7, he talks about our sins being taken and cast into the depths of the sea, completely gone forever. And so the first word that he uses here is the word forgiven. And then next he speaks of it being covered, and he says in the end of verse 7, "and whose sins are covered." And that simply means that our sins are invisible to God. Now the Bible tells us that God has very good eyes. One passage says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Another place in the Bible says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The Bible very clearly teaches that God has good eyesight and He can see everything. But this passage is talking about the blessedness of us when we become Christians, because God then covers it so that even with His eyesight, He can't see our sins, whose iniquities are covered. And then He speaks of imputed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not sin. And that's a bookkeeper's term. To impute simply means to record it. And what He's saying here is, or He's pronouncing a blessing upon us, because God has not recorded our sin. It's not written down to our account. And so in this passage, the apostle is trying to explain to us about our salvation. He refers to it as a righteousness without works. Not a righteousness without obedience. He's not saying that there's not something that we need, that there's nothing for us to do. There are things for us to do. But he's saying that there is no way that any man can work off the guilt of his sin. The only way that we can stand righteous before God is because God, in His love and in His grace, has been willing to forgive us of our sins. And all of us who are here this morning who have been baptized into Christ or Christians, we ought to joyfully worship and serve God because of the great blessing of the forgiveness that we have. We're not working and serving God in order to be saved, but His grace has saved us, and so now we give our lives in work and service to Him out of sheer gratitude and thanks. That's the way all of us who are here this morning who are Christians ought to react to that. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, you need to understand that every sin that you've ever committed is held against you. God can see it. It's not been forgiven. It's recorded. You may not have committed as many sins as some of the rest of us, but they're all against you. But if you will be baptized for the remission of sins, then God will forgive it. All will be forgiven. The record will be erased. Your sins will be covered. And you will be justified without work through the grace of God. If there's anyone here this morning who's not a Christian and you want to become a Christian today,